I have some things I want to share tonight, and basically the question in your brochure was the question, marriage hyphen, what was God thinking? And as we look at the program here, I want to use some overheads here and try to convey some thoughts. I don't want to be long-winded. And might take a little bit of time for that thing to get up and running here. There we go. And so we're looking at something that is sacred, and that something is marriage. I noticed a number of you are here as a second marriage, and I bless you all for coming. Since Dale has 10 more years on this thing called marriage than what I do, Dale, I would maybe just volunteer to turn it over to you, and you take it from here. You have more experience, right? But that's the way it is. So marriage is sacred. It is honorable. It is something that is precious. It's a gift that is given, and it is ordained and instituted by God Himself. Paul says it is a mystery. And so all of us are a part of this thing called marriage. And we want to explore that a bit more as we go along here. So marriage, what was God thinking? The crowning work of God's creation was the making of a man. And that man was made in the image of God. And then the woman was made from Adam to be a help suitable for Adam. Excuse me. At the end of the 6 days of creation, God said, "It is very good." And marriage was part, I believe, of that very good statement. In Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. The man and the woman had been created by that time, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So as God was busy with creation, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, Adam and Eve come on the scene there. And God, in my mind's eye, I just see Him surveying His creation. And there is man and woman. And God said, "Very good." And so from that we take it that in God's eyes, marriage is in that very good category. But I want to give a warning. Your marriage and my marriage is under attack. Satan wants to destroy the most beautiful thing that God ever gave to man outside of His personal salvation, and that is this institution called marriage. Keep that in mind. You might be thinking, you might have wished sometime, I just wish we'd have a marriage that is perfect. Now, maybe you have that. I don't know. Mine isn't, and it's not her fault. It's mine. I mean, none of us are perfect, so we don't have perfect marriages, right? But keep in mind that you and your spouse are at the center of the enemy's destruction radar. It helps me when we have things that we need to process through, I realize that there's an enemy that would like to divide us. And we need to be on guard. So if there's trouble that comes your way, if there's issues to work out, etc., remember, your marriage is under attack. He wants you to fail. He wants to destroy you, and he'll stop at nothing to accomplish your failure. And so don't be surprised if you and I and we all have things to work through, issues to work through, misunderstandings to clear up, et cetera, et cetera. That is a part of the experience of life. But I am so thankful that we have a God who, since He instituted marriage, since He has blessed marriage and said that it is sacred, it is holy, it is honorable, it is very good, if He was the one that implemented it and instituted it, then He is the one who has the answers for it. Some of you are builders. You know exactly where every purlin, every stud, every nail, every screw needs to go because you want that building to stand. A few years ago in 2022, we had a mighty wind come through our area, 90 plus miles an hour, and tore off half the roof of our building. Just the power of wind, and the builder can be ever so careful, but that building was damaged. It wasn't destroyed. Now, that middle word in this seminar this weekend, we understand marriage because you're living it. You're living it. We understand a seminar. A seminar is where you pay money, you go, you listen to other people speaking, you expect to benefit and to glean some information from it. So marriage, seminar, but in the middle there is that word enrichment. So we have something that's very good, and I thought about enriched flour as an example, and I wrote it out. I hope you can read it there in the back, and I'll just read it there. Of enriched flour, something that's good to start with, and then something is added to it to make it even better. However, I may have chosen a poor example, if you read through this. And thinking of that versus marriage, the reason enriched flour has nutrients added is that they are removed during the processing of the grain. To make flour, manufacturers process the grain in a way that removes two portions called the bran and the germ. Bran is the fiber-rich portion that contains protein and a variety of minerals. The germ is rich in B vitamins and minerals that are essential for health. Those things are removed. What's left after the processing is a portion called the endosperm. The endosperm has nutritional value, being a source of protein, carbohydrates, B vitamins, and iron, but it undergoes still further processing to create a fine powder. And during this process, it loses even more of its vitamins and minerals. So processing grains to white flour removes much of the white, much of the fiber, and destroys most of the B vitamins and minerals. Flour is, quote, enriched with B vitamins and iron to add back what was lost. In reality, other vitamins and minerals were also lost, including zinc, magnesium, selenium, and vitamin E. But only iron and B vitamins are added back. Not only does the grain processing destroy vitamins and minerals, but it also removes natural antioxidants along with fiber and protein, which are not added back in. So when you ladies buy enriched flour at the store, that's a misnomer. I mean, they took out more than they put back in and call it enriched. And you've been buying enriched flour all this time, haven't you? Thinking it's the good stuff. Well, I'm not a baker, so I don't know anything about baking. But what I want to get at is when there is an enrichment, that word is used to add back in to something that was already good to start with. And so we have marriage, which God said is very good. Amen? You're a quiet bunch here tonight, but we'll get over that. And so what can we do as participants in this institution called marriage that can enrich our marriage experience? And here's where I want to go with this. Scripture tells us that we are to add to our faith certain things. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. I'll have it on the next slide, and we can read it there. But that passage is one that is dear to my heart for a couple reasons, but this is one of those. Knowledge is what we're focusing on this weekend. I suspect that if we would ask each one of you, you probably came here hoping to finish the sentence. Huh? Learn something. Exactly. Thank you, brother. Even though you missed out on the furthest prize there. I hope you can sleep well tonight. We come to these places hoping to learn something. Brett, did you get it? Freeman, did you get it? Philip, they want to learn something. Now, you see, as long as I'm speaking, I'm not learning anything, because I can only tell you what I already know. But that is why I came. We've been here five, six, this might be the eighth time that we've been at a marriage seminar. Yeah, our marriage is bad, right? We really need help. No, our marriage is good, and we want it. I just want it as good as it can be. After 43 years, I think we're still looking pretty good, don't you? No, let's not go there. I love marriage. It's a challenge, but Sue Ann and I are probably more in love now than when the first year of marriage, Mr. Petrie. And so the scripture tells us that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3, the last verse that Peter writes, he tells us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the scripture command actually is grow in your understanding. Accumulate more knowledge. Add it to something that's already good, and you have enrichment. That's where I'm coming and going with this here. We desire to add to our personal knowledge of how we can best live out His will and His plan for us in our marriage. And here is the portion, and I probably, for the sake of time, I'll probably just leave this other than highlight. Verse 3 is one of the most, probably one of my favorite portions of Scripture. This is Peter writing, according to His divine power hath given unto us, you. And I was going to mention, if you have a phone, turn it off, but I forgot that. But now we're all reminded. If you got one, take it out, put it on off. You're not on airplane, but any, you know, airplane mode would work. That's all right. That's all right, brother. But the scripture says that God hath given unto us all things. And what does that mean? That means exactly what it says. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that refers back to the earlier statement. Our God does not have us hanging. Here's marriage. Make it work on your own. No, He has given us all things that we need to not just be married, but to be happily married. And then He says, besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and the list goes on. And then He comes to verse 8, and He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in falling. I'm not interested in falling. Falling hurts. At least every time I've fell, I mean, it's like, duh, don't do that again. How many of you have fell? Literally. Yeah, it's, you know, really, it's a wonder I'm here. The falls that I've taken, God has preserved my life and yours as well. And so, Peter is saying, here's knowledge. Here's what you need to do. Add to your faith, virtue unto virtue, knowledge. And he goes on to say, if you do these things, and he says, verse 8, if these things be in you, and what's the next word? Abound. And I think that's why we're here this weekend. I, for one, am just dissatisfied enough in my present state that I want to be a better version of what God wants me to be tomorrow and the next day. So a certain dissatisfaction with life can be good if it's prompting us onward and upward, abounding. Let's move on. So this is Friday evening. Action. It's a personal choice. The things that we share this weekend that will add to your faith, that will add to your bank, your storehouse, your warehouse of knowledge, I trust that action from the knowledge that you receive, it's a personal choice. I cannot decide for you. You might hear something and you might, is that true or not? Does that work or not? And I think we just want to open ourselves up for correction, brothers. If we say something that does not align with Scripture, we want to be corrected, please. I do. But I've been preaching and teaching for 30-plus years now on what God's Word has to say, and God knows best, and His ways are best. I've seen so much hurt, and you have too, out in the world. People thought God, church, standards, marriage, whatever, and they go their own way. You know, someone has said this, marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. choose your heart. Being fit is hard. Being obese is hard. Choose your heart. Being financially secure is hard. Believe it or not, some of you are probably there. Being poor is hard. Choose your heart. In other words, the author went on to say, life is not easy. And it's not. But it's, what's the alternative? I choose life, even with all the challenges. And God wants us in our time here to make choices based on knowledge that results in action, that results in growth. That's what God is interested in. If we want our marriages that are, if we want marriages that are flourishing and vibrant, we must make some choices. And so maybe it's time to personally look into the mirror and ask this question: is it I? You know, I have no idea where we've seen a lot of marriages come up and walk across the stage tonight. And I would like to think all of you are just you're just getting along so fine, and just everything is honky-dory, and there's just no cloud in the sky. But I had a dear brother in ministry for many years. He's passed on now. He said, Philip, he said, every time you stand in front of God's people, do not assume anything. And I don't want you to feel guilty. But all what I'm saying here, there is drama in some people's lives, and there's just a lot of drama in their lives, and it's like, I'd love to ask the question, have you looked in the mirror recently? Maybe it's you. And I need, when Sue Ann and I, you know, if there's a disagreement or something and I think it's her fault, maybe I should look in the mirror and ask that question, is it I? Am I the primary problem in this relationship? And I'm not going to sugarcoat things this weekend. Maybe some of you need to be honest and maybe I'm the one that needs to change. Only God can tell, only God knows if someone like that is here. But brothers and sisters, repentance is always an option. And coming, making things right is a good way to go. Now here's where I'm going to need your input. What are some things that we could add to our marriage that would enhance its joy and delight? Since God said it was very good, God made it, He instituted marriage, Adam and Eve put them together. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. That's God's design. And He said, very good. Have at it. Now, what can you and I do? What can we add to our marriage? Now, let's think of some words that begin with the letter A that would have the potential to enhance and enrich our marriage, your marriage, my marriage, all the marriages that are here. Whoops, cheat sheet. Y'all didn't see that, did you? That wasn't supposed to happen. I have 18 words that start with the letter A, and I know you're going to pick up on some of them. But I'd like to just throw it out there. I love teaching. I love the interaction here. What is a word that starts with the letter A that if added to a marriage would make it a better, and you already saw three of them. Go ahead and pick one of them. Somebody.
Affirmation.
Affirmation. Why is that true, brother? Why would you say that? Do you have a thought on that? Does she need to be affirmed?
Absolutely.
Do you need to be affirmed? What does that do to you? How does it make you feel?
Makes your heart tick.
And you're in a second marriage, aren't you, brother? Okay, so your heart's ticked quite a few times, hasn't it? I'm glad to hear that. Affirmation. Do you know that that is so key to healthy, vibrant marriages? Your spouse. I am the only man in the world that can affirm Sue Ann in the way that she needs it. And she's the only woman in the world that can do that to me. When I preach a message, I'm washed out. I'm hungry. I'm tired. And on the way home, if she said, honey, that was a good marriage. That was a good sermon. You know, those words mean more to me than anything anyone else could say. She has just affirmed me in that. What's another A word?
Accept.
Any thing you want to say on that? Who said it? Floyd? Does that mean something to you if she accepts you as you are? How about you, Esther? Is it Esther? Yeah. Bimassel die Spiere. Do y'all know Dutch? Some of you do. That's my native tongue. I love the language. English is my second language. Yeah, accept. Accept her. You know, that is a huge part in marriage, in a marriage, is to accept each other for who we are. Because most of us, Brother Petrie there is only 1 year in, so I'm going to kind of pick on him a little bit. But did I accept my spouse as she was when we first got married, or did I try to change her? And did you do the same thing? And we found out we ain't getting far with this project. And so we need to accept each other for who we are. The third word, and you saw it there.
Appreciate.
A thought on that? Was it you, Mr. Diller?
When we appreciate what our wife does for us and all that she puts into the marriage, without her, we could not possibly do it.
It's Lyle, right?
Right.
So, and I've thought about that too. I go to the closet and I pull back the door, and there are shirts ironed, washed. There's the socks and the underwear. And my wife's been doing that for 40-some years, 43 years plus for me. It's like, I appreciate that. And when you sell a piece of equipment and someone really gets a, feels like they got a good deal, got a good piece of equipment, you do sell equipment, right? Am I remembering correctly? And they say, Brother Lyle, that piece of equipment is still working today. That was the best choice I ever made. Thank you for brokering the deal or whatever. You feel appreciated. That is so critical. Okay, let's put those up there. Are there some more A words that you might think of and want to expound? Let me just throw them up there. You pick out. I'd like to have some of you just pick out one of those and maybe make a comment or two if you have one. Did you marry a phony? Did you want her to be authentic? I want my wife to be the real deal, authentic, okay? Someone speak. Just pick out one and make a comment. I want you to do that. Feel free this weekend.
I like the word approval.
Approval.
Yeah, it just means a lot to me. People approve of what it did.
Amen. That is so good. Yes. Someone else?
Think outside the box.
Boy, it throws your wife off balance for a little bit, doesn't it? That's good. Adventuresome. Instead of the same old, yeah. Good. Someone else?
Assuring,
yes. We put up a brand new building for our business back in 2020. And every source of counsel that I went to, brethren in the church, the tax man, others, they said, Phil, do it. Phil, do it. Phil, do it. My wife said, honey, do it. And I just couldn't pull the trigger. But I was assured of her backing before I ever did it. And assurance. Us men, you might think, oh, my, he's got big shoulder. I can beat on him all day and it won't hurt him. Yes, it will. We need the assurance, especially of our wife or spouse, our husband, assurance that they accept us, appreciate us, affirm us for who we are. We're going to go on unless someone has another one. This is your seminar. You paid to come here. I didn't. Go ahead.
Assisting.
Any thought on that, Floyd? Assisting. How would that look in real life? Would if you would assist Esther?
Run the vacuum cleaner.
How about washing the dishes? How about setting the table? I have the privilege of at noon, I can walk back home, and sometimes I set the table, and Sue Ann is working on dinner. Assisting. I love that. Brothers and sisters, when we start adding things back into something that's already good, do you know that the reciprocal effect will just about blow you away? And if you're not doing that, then I would say start doing it, because your spouse will appreciate it. A great marriage is an ongoing process. It's not a plateau of achievement. I want to get married. I want to get married. I want to get married. Finally get married. Check that off the list. I'm now married. It's an achievement. No, it's not an achievement. It's a covenant. It's a lifelong relationship. And in marriage, you might stutter on this one. In marriage, growth is more important than happiness. The declaration of the preamble or the declaration that the pursuit of happiness, preamble, Declaration of Independence, that's part of what the United States was founded on, and it has a phrase in there, the pursuit of happiness. That's supposed to be an American way of life. God is more concerned with your holiness than he is with your happiness. And the thing I want to come across today, tonight, and this weekend is the thing of growing. Because the Bible is clear. Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Add to your faith virtue. My wife has a table out back there in the foyer that has our personal library of marriage books on display there, not to impress you all. But you need to and probably have your own personal library of books on marriage, the needs that she has, the needs that a husband has, the acquisition of more knowledge of how things work. Because the better, Brett, by the way, he's a very understated guy, but he's an electrical engineer. I, for fun, call him Sparky. And he, for fun, calls me Honey. Now, we have to do that in careful arenas or in careful places, because that word Honey could have the wrong... Oh, we're just kind of kidding each other. We go to the same church there. But Brett understands that that electrical systems and motors function a certain way. Growth is more important than happiness. Emotional, spiritual, relational growth is the cornerstone to enjoying a solid and happy marriage. I was looking at some of the books in the weeks gone by in preparation for this. It was just a good refresher course again. So we've learned a lot since the day we were married. I had baggage. Probably all of us brought some baggage into our marriage. And did I make a mistake? Is she the right one? I didn't know he was like that. You know, there's all kinds of questions that go through your mind. But now you're trapped because you promised, I will and I do. You didn't say, I'll try. You said, I will and I do. And that's a promise made before God and man, and God holds us accountable. So, since I am married, and I don't quite understand why she is that way or he is that way, you know, maybe I ought to educate myself. Maybe I ought to get the owner's manual out and see how this is supposed to be wired and how it's supposed to work. And those huge big motors that were built 90 years ago, you can make those run, can't you, Brett? I mean, you understand how that works. That's what he does. So pursuing growth leads to a growing and happy marriage. And I just want to encourage you to add to your database, additional inputs. And buy a book, read it together or separately or whatever, to help you better understand what God wants in this thing called marriage from me and from her. That's what I'm after. Growing people are attractive people. And a growing spouse is an attractive spouse. I just love it when my wife is sitting there with a book reading, and I wonder, okay, is it about me? You know, is that why she's reading the book? But no, what I'm saying is grow in grace and in knowledge. The place you are today in your marriage is the result of decisions that you've made in the past. And that's a fact. Excuse me, I should go like this. So the decisions that Sue Ann and I had made 5 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, in the past, has brought us to where we are now. Do you understand that? Now, if the now that we're in is warm and bubbly and brimming with desire for each other, then by all means, we want to keep on doing what we've been doing. Understand? But if the flip side of the coin, if your marriage is painful and it's filled with hurt and tension and misunderstanding, it is that way today because of decisions that you made yesterday and 5 years ago. Do you follow? And so if your present is happy, keep on doing it, but continue to add new things to it that enhance the marriage. If your marriage is filled with tension and turmoil, it's time to look in God's mirror and say, is it I? Because 5 years hence, Lord willing, it can be a different marriage based on the decisions of today. And I just want to bless you all for making the decision to come here. Not because we're here, but it tells me that you have a desire to learn more in order to make this wonderful thing called marriage even better. Because the law of the harvest, you can yip and yap and croak and squeal all you want to, you will never change this law, this principle. You reap what you sow. And if you have a wonderful marriage today, it's because you planted seeds that are now bringing forth fruit that bless your today. So marriage is the crucible. It is the arena. It is the melting pot, if you will, in which two lives are molded and formed into an image that is to mirror the relationship between Christ and the church. So what was God thinking? He was thinking of you. I've already said this. Marriage is designed to make a man more like his God. Because you and I get plenty of chances, I was going to say every day, I think almost every day, to again forgive our spouse or to overlook something. Here a few years ago, just out of whatever, we were going down there, we were traveling somewhere, and I looked at my wife and I said, honey, I said, do you think you put up more with me, or do I put up more with you? Wise woman that she is, she said, we're not going to keep score. Because how do you measure something like that? You can't. But part of the human carnal nature is, I put up more with her stuff than she does with mine. Well, guess what? Maybe that's not as true as you would like for it to be. And so let's just not keep score. Let's just get along, right? So you and your spouse are different, and it's for a reason. You're to complement one another instead of compete against one another. And so this weekend is about adding something to your marriage to make it richer, to make it more valuable, and to make it more meaningful. This was a saying that I came across, and a wife wrote this. And I quote, and I don't have her name. She said, men and women are not the same, and that is a blessing. Let me just pause, insert something that comes to my mind. I would submit to you for your consideration that the goal is not to think alike in marriage. Now, you would tend to think, if she would think like I do, it'd be honky-dory. Well, would it? Well, probably, kind of. The goal is not to think alike. The goal is to think together. Now think about that. I like green color and she likes blue. What color siding are we going to pick out for the house? It probably won't be green, it probably won't be blue. See, we're not thinking alike. But as we continue talking, some of you build cabinets. Are we going to build them out of birch, cherry, walnut, oak, elm? Who's a cabinet maker here? What's the current wood that's popular?
Maple.
Maple. And we might, you know, we have to make a decision. I might like oak, she might like walnut. You understand what I'm saying is, instead of thinking alike, we need to think together because There's a two-way street here. My thoughts are going her way, her thoughts are coming my way. And we're sharing. It's called communication. And we arrive eventually, I hope, we should, at a mutually agreed upon color choice. Now, we're not the same. And oftentimes it's the opposites that attract, right? You've heard that, opposites attract? Okay, so I get married, we get married, I'm the talker. My wife would not want to do what I'm doing, okay? So we're opposite in that nature. She needs some of me, and I need some of her, right? Same way with you. That's why God brought you together. And anyhow, here's what this wife said. I loved it. He provides and protects, I multiply. He is the head of the family, I am the heart. He provides the shelter, I give it a heartbeat. He provides the ingredients, I make the meal. He provides the house, I make it into a home. He takes care of my outer world, and I take care of his inner world. He gave me love, I gave him life. Our roles complement rather than compete. Where God created two from one, two become one in marriage. Equal value, equal honor, equally needed by the family. I just thought that is so good, I want to share it here. Now, when we were dating, we developed a picture of a perfect spouse. Then we married an imperfect one. Now we have two options. We can accept the picture and tear up the spouse, or we can tear up the picture and accept the spouse. You and I are doing one of those options right now in our marriage. And so tonight the choice is yours. Tomorrow the choice is still yours. And from this moment forward until the end of life, the choice will always be ours. God won't make it for you. I can't make it for Freeman. Freeman can't make it for me. It's individual choices based on new knowledge that we acquire. Knowledge plus a choice equals, I hope, action that causes us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I have taken up enough time tonight.